Blog Talk Radio.
Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. It's Thanksgiving today. Happy Thanksgiving for all of you in America. Anyway, I'm not sure how it's all celebrated out in the other places in the world. For days of being grateful, you know, it's like just one day that we put aside to, okay, let's make sure we're all grateful here. And you know, it's like I think a spiritual being is in a state of gratitude, you know, for most things or for all things. And you know, I know that if anyone has been following the news, it's like where we're at in Los Angeles, and me specifically in Malibu, it's like I'm grateful that not all of Malibu was consumed by the recent wildfire. And you know, I'm grateful for my neighbors. You know, it's like a moment when everyone can kind of get serious and you know, look out for one another and make sure that we're you know, that we're being informed, that we're supporting one another, you know, because it's it gets really, really down to life and death sometimes. And you know, it's good to know that I'm surrounded by serious individuals. And so I am grateful for that. And you know, for my family and my friends, my the opportunities that I have as a intuitive counselor, as a wizard, and I'm sure my guest is going to ask me about that. you know, do the work that I do in the world. I'm incredibly grateful for that. And so, my website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean. That has my tarot reading schedule, and it has my Om Chant CDs. And I'm percolating a workshop in Portland. It's the tentative date for it right now is January 20th. And so I'm going to be going to the New Renaissance Bookshop there and doing my Cultivating the Unknown seminar, workshop, a couple hours, and getting to meet the community up there. And so I am really excited about it because I've been wanting to do it for a long time, and I have friends and family up in Portland, and I'll get to see them, and it'll be a lot of fun. All right, so I want to bring on my guest, and my guest today is Layla Didaban, and you know, she is an astrologer, a psychic, and teacher. And Layla was born with the ability to see through the psyche into the root of humanity. And we're gonna talk about that today. We're gonna talk about how she teaches others to you know, tap into the unknown, discover it, and raise it into existence. Layla, good morning.
Hi, Jason. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you for being on Wizard Talk this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's like you know, it's Thanksgiving today in America, and it's you know, is there anything that you're particularly thankful for?
I'm just thankful for all the great friends and family that I have out here in California, since you know, my immediate family is back home in Pennsylvania. So it's nice to be able to spend time with family out here. So very grateful, and I'm grateful for the rain that we just had, even though it was
a
little
God.
Bit.
That was great. I was like so happy. Of course, I had to walk the dogs in it, and it was pouring, you know, like for the most part of it. And then, you know, it always happens. Like when you come back inside, then it stops, and it's just like,
and then
really?
You feel bad. You can't complain about it because we never get it. So
that's true.
It's like, well, we can't complain about getting soaked during that walk because then the rain might not happen again.
And that's how it works, right? It's like the rain is dependent on how we feel about it.
Exactly. We have to be grateful and receive.
I think so. I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, I for every show, I'll pull a tarot card at random, of course, and it's not that it's the theme of the show, but it's just I feel that. You know, because Wizard Talk it's educational. It's like, you know, for not just tarot readers to listen to and learn about the tarot, but for others to see how the tarot can, you know, have a deeper impact or, you know, open up ways of seeing our life in a certain way. And I chose the Ten of Wands, you know, and I wanted to include you in on the conversation of it, because, you know, I feel that the 10 is, you know, sometimes it's one of those harder cards, you know, to look at. You know, if people see it in their life, it's like, oh, how come I can't get the 10 of Cups or the 10 of Pentacles? You know, why the 10 of Wands? Because it looks like it's you know, shows a harder aspect of our life, and yet, you know, I see it as an opportunity to lay down some of the stuff that we carry within us that you know, no longer applies. You know, it's like some of our talents, some of our gifts that we're no longer you know, wanting to put on the front burner of our own life. It's just like, you know what? I've been doing this for a really long time. It's time to just kind of put this aside and allow for some other gifts to blossom, to flourish. And so there's an opportunity to change up one's life and not feel the weight of carrying around just all of our stuff, but to lighten that load a bit. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Well, first of all, it's a 10. So, you know, you've reached a completion point, and it doesn't matter if it's the 10 of Cups or the 10 of, you know, well, no, nobody really likes the 10 of Swords, but, you know.
That is true. When that comes
really
up, everyone just has that. Their eyes
even
get,
that
like,
has
twice
its own
the size.
Yeah. And that's a whole other conversation starter that we won't get into right now. But it's still a 10, and it's a completion point, and that's the way to look at it. You know, the fact that you've gotten that far is epic. You know, you're not at a 5, you're not at a 6, you're at a 10, and you know, you're going into the next phase, which is about bringing something into the forefront, like something that's really going to shine, right? And just like you said, it's about releasing all of those other burdens that weren't helping you along the way for that one plant, for that one thing that you worked on, that you planted, that's going to take off now. So that's kind of, I view it the same way you do, as it's more optimistic because you are at a completion point. You know, maybe you've tried all these other avenues. Maybe you've tried so many things at once, and now you're going to get rid of the ones that haven't worked, and for that one plant that's about to take off. And it's exciting that it's going to happen. You know, it's just that, you know, the next phase, you know, you're at a prince or something. So one of those.
That's right.
Court parts.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, and who doesn't want to go and reach the prince? So, I mean, you're at that point, and that's an exciting point. You know, come Prince, come taste this shooting flower, and let's go off in the sunset with it. Let's really see it grow. So that's how I see it.
Wow. That's like a whole other level to it. That's beautiful. I'm glad I included you into the conversation of it.
A little exciting, you know. Everything you look at can become, exciting with tarot. And there's a lot of people, I think, sometimes they put too much negative connotation on it. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's not that way. It's really how you choose to view it. Is what direction it's going to go in. So.
Yeah, I mean, I see it as how we just move through the energy of even difficult situations too. You know, it's like, I was performing a memorial service the other day. Actually, it was before the fire started, so it was like a couple weeks ago. And it's like the family, you know, didn't want to make it an affair of where it was just a sorrowful affair, you know, where it was a celebration. And, you know, one can take a situation that has gravity to it, but also, see the balance of the light along with the darkness. And, you know, I am of that mindset that the tarot has like ways to see the light, you know, because I think that's when people they come to a tarot reader or a psychic or an astrologer, or you know, they're looking for that light, you know, their path has become dim, you know, they can't really see the way forward for themselves, and so they come to us to shed light on their
absolutely
their way.
Yeah, and you know, and it's real too. It's not that, you know, you're saying something just to, you know, appease someone. You know, the things that you're saying, it's real. It's just, you know, it's because they're just seeing it in that positive light, and if they move into that positive light, it will be, you know, it can manifest into that. You know, another thing with the Ten of Wands, again, just like you were talking about your, death ceremony or things that you had to attend, it's almost like I just got sick of it, right? And, you know, that's kind of like the Ten of Wands. Like, it's a completion, and sometimes those heavy things happen, like we get sick or we have to go attend something that doesn't feel so great to us, because it's almost like a shedding of skin. I mean, if you think of it like a snake that's shedding its snake skin, you know, off being reborn into it's a new skin then. So it's almost like at those completion points, although this is not the completion in itself, this can be representing a sort of, okay, well, now because I am getting rid of all those negative things that weren't working, I've gotten physically sick as a way to shed that off. And that even in itself is positive.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So
makes sense to me.
To actually have a physical representation of shedding off the negative. So you get sick to shed off that negativity. Like that's the ending of that. Now it's gone.
Right.
Gone with the wind.
Right.
And we can move on to the prince and the, you know, and the higher suit. So, but, you know, it's just a representation. And so even in that in itself, being sick then is something to be, you know, to observe. It's like, well, this is interesting. You know, I'm at a Ten of Wands. I got sick. If this is the worst the Ten of Wands was, well, that's joyous news, actually. You know, and it's just a representation of shedding off everything that was was burdening me to the point where I got physically ill with it.
And now
we're having a podcast. So this is a brand new beginning.
And you're starting that. Going down that road a little bit more for yourself, are you not, as a practitioner and a philosopher and, you know, someone, a teacher, right? As far as like the podcast area. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was doing personal readings for a while, and it was getting very draining because, you know, I love people and I love to, but it was just not my, when something is past your time, you feel it, you know, and doesn't mean that that's not your path anymore or your road, but the energy won't feel the same as it did before. And even the same amount of energy that you give to it, it's almost like it starts to take a negative turn. And that's just the universe telling you that, okay, it's time for you to take the next step. And you're going past your limit almost in that area if you stay, you know. This is time for the next step up, the next level up. And for me, it wasn't to get rid of readings, obviously, because this is my passion, my calling, is to talk about these things, but to talk more about it on a global level, on a universal level, like to put myself out there more, not just to one-on-one, but to, you know, to media, to doing podcasts and branching out to a larger audience about mm-hmm. global issues and things like that. And even personal issues, but when it comes to the whole. So that was my new beginning, my new path that I had to emerge into. So,
and you have a background in working with the public, of being seen in the public eye, of doing interviews with others that you know, with fantastic minds and all. you know, so it's you know, part of what I like to showcase, or you know talk about with the guests on Wizard Talk, because I feel that you know, wizard energy is like manifestation. It's like, you know, where one has a desire and then you know, allows for that desire to express itself out into the world, and I feel that, you know, it's like we're not just thrust into arenas that we're totally unaccustomed to, or ones that we haven't been working at in other areas, maybe, you know, as far as like, you know, when someone like just goes in and starts doing a podcast, it's like they may have had some experience doing, you know, public speaking in other realms. They may not have been talking about, you know, metaphysics or world issues, but they may have been, you know, just kind of like practicing their mannerisms and ways of speaking clearly and gathering your thoughts, and, you know, it all adds up. It all adds up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually fascinated, like, you know, as, you know, I guess I would call myself more of a seer, or like I have like a lot of prophetic dreams and sights and things, but, you know, it's interesting what each of us, like, we choose as titles for ourselves. And so you go towards the realm of you're a wizard. And so, mm-hmm. like, I'm pulled to understand, like, what is that exactly? I mean, I know that you just described it a bit, but I'm really fascinated. Like, why choose wizard? What is wizard to you?
Well, it helps to have a 2-foot-long beard.
I guess it is a bit Merlin, right?
yeah, all the classic wizards, right? but simply put, you know, it's like I adhere to that maxim of like the magician card and the tarot, which is as above, so below, and, you know, drawing from a divine guidance. You know, drawing from heaven and looking to manifest that on the earth, and so it's not just about you know, having a desire for something that is just you know, so selfish that it's you know, to get it, it's like, you know, one being in a place of greed, or you know, I think that the larger areas of being of service to others, to recognizing your community, your environment, your world, right? So that you are looking to sustain the bigger picture there for yourself and others. And then, you know, looking to manifest those principles into reality. And so that's kind of like the umbrella there of, you know, what it is that I do. And I don't know that I could teach that, or, you know, maybe that's just it. You know, but what it allows for, Layla, is, you know, what I do look to teach when I'm doing workshops and all is a trust in spirit and one's own path forward, and looking to open up you know, one's own clarity, so that they're able to kind of pinpoint what their desires are that do have a broader you know, how they land in the world, right? It's like you're wanting to you know, explore these topics and all, and share them with others, so that it opens up others, right? You know,
yeah.
You know, certainly it's of interest to you, right? And you're facilitating that, but how it lands out in the world, as far as, you know, opening up others to their own spiritual journey, you know, that's for me, that's a very worthwhile, amazing, you know, goal to work towards. And that's
very well said.
Yeah,
because exactly what I was going to discuss is, you know, there's a lot of times where people don't understand necessarily why they're feeling the things that they're feeling. Their spiritual life, you know, let's talk about empaths, for example. Mm. You know, growing up a lot of times when you're very spiritual, when you're very in tune to that, you don't necessarily understand what's happening. You know, why, and empaths have a difficult time. They don't understand why they're sensing everybody's emotions. They don't understand that these emotions, why anger is so intense for them, why they take on so much grief. And they don't understand that it's not necessarily their own that they're feeling, but somebody else's that they're just very sensitive to, and they take that on. And especially as a child, not understanding that sort of sensitivity can really be overwhelming a bit and confusing. And that was my path as well. Like, you know, I'm very in tune spiritually, but, you know, I have empathic ability. I think most of us do that are spiritual workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's great to talk about these things, because a lot of times people don't even understand why they're feeling the way that they are. So by talking about it, maybe they stumble across something in their journey, or you know, they Google something and they hear somebody else talking about something that resonates with them, and all of a sudden there's understanding, and it brings a certain peace. And I think that's why I come out with it and talk about it, so that people don't feel so lost or confused anymore as to if there's something wrong with them, that it's a real thing, that it's a real thing to be that spiritually in tune with people's energy.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a child and you're having all of these sensations, and you're having difficulty knowing what's yours, what it is that you're feeling, or what it is that you're sensing from others, and even having that awareness, right, of that border, that dividing line, you know, it can be a learned thing. Did you have the support, or the you know, the awareness of that, you know, it's like, some, yes, this is me feeling this, but this is someone else. This is not me feeling this.
growing up, no, I didn't really understand it at all very well. But see, for me, too, it was a mix of not just being an empath, but also having these prophetic visions, like these sights. And so, I mean, I was also a visionary. So it was very confusing when you're having visions and you're feeling things and you don't know what's going on around you. But you want to just try to kind of fit in the best you can with people and your friends. Oftentimes, it just became too draining for me to try to fit in. I just kind of excluded myself after a while, and you know, just went off you know, I just go home after school. I wouldn't really hang out with anybody after a while, and I would just lay there and meditate or, you know, just be within my own mind, because that was the place that felt most like home to me. You know, because when you don't have a community around you that understands these things and wants to talk about it or help you understand what's going on, one, I became bored, because, to be very honest, the things that were going on inside my head were more fascinating than what was going on around in around with my friends, you know, all just wanting to, you know, date each other or whatever. That, you know, their types of conversations weren't exciting to me, because I'm like, no, I have way more fascinating conversations going on in my head, you know, way more fascinating things that I'm seeing. And no one, and if you start to describe these things, people look at you like, what are you talking about? No one understood it. No one understood that sort of sight. So, and then, you know, you just become a loner. And when it is kind of, though, on one hand, it's almost like I took to music and film a lot. That's why I really love the entertainment industry, too, because, you know, I was fascinated. All the arts was very healing for me. Art became extremely healing because it kind of confirmed those visions that I was seeing. At least in some way, the creativity could flow. Like, you know, you start to see things, but at least you could play with it a little bit more with the art and the music. You could live in there a little longer. Whereas, you know, everything else was kind of difficult. So I would say that I gravitated towards those mediums to help feel comfortable in society with that. That was probably my only support that I had.
Yeah, and being able to take, you know, what interests you and what you're seeing and wanting to express, to be able to kind of create your own platform, you know, for you know, for you to express it and to invite others to throw in their two cents, or you know, include others who would be you know, kind of find you know, like-minded people. You know, it's like you're wanting to build your own community, basically. It's like it's pretty great. You know, that's exactly the beauty of this digital revolution that we've gone through. This the ability to have your own podcast, your own radio show, your own you know, ability to tap into a wider audience, but in a very, you know, kind of low tech way. You know, it's not that you're having to, you know, like in the old days where, you know, it's like it took a lot, you know, but it was also a little bit more confined too. You know, it's like you're having to answer to, you know, people that were footing the bill and stuff. If you had your radio show or your TV show, it's like, you know, it's like you're able to do, you know, what it is that you want and to, you know, talk about those things that you want to talk about. It's pretty great.
It's great these days that, you know, so then, you know, people can have a place to go to understand and feel comfortable. Like they feel like, okay, there's somebody else out there that's feeling what I did, and I'm not crazy. You know, I'm not just being overly dramatic or sensitive. because, you know, it's still something, the whole spiritual aspect is still something that's not quite understood or accepted by society so much. You know, and it's fascinating, too, because why do you think people even gravitate towards religion? You know, and I'm not here to have a whole, like, you know, religious debate, but the
it sounds like you are.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea that people gravitate even towards religion is the same thing because they want to believe that there's something else out there, and there is. You know, there is this energy and things, other things that are out there. And the fact that, you know, it's the very same thing as, you know, what an empath might be feeling, or somebody with, you know, these spiritual insights. But yet, you know, we decide to say that, no, but you're wrong and I'm right about it. Like, no, it's a separate. It's really not separate. It's really just the fact that, you know, we all feel that there's something else beyond the physical.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to talk about it more, and if people are open enough to just kind of listen, they kind of would find that we're all, you know, it's all the same language, really. And to find unity in that, I think is important. Yeah.
When you say that you help people discover the unknown, is that kind of like unknown parts of themselves, or is it kind of like tap into, you know, what you were just talking about with like a feeling of looking for a deeper connection, you know? Because I think that religion it does offer answers, right, to very complex feelings and questions. Not that those answers are complete, you know. It's like it's like they, you know, they make sense within their own system, right? It's like, you know, if you take everything at face value within that system, then it's like, okay, you know, then
exactly.
It works, right? But it doesn't always work for everyone, you know, because depending on how much time, you know, time in the day you want to spend, you know, like, you know, kind of fixating on your spirituality as opposed to just like going and hanging out with friends, or you know, watching the ball game, or you know, getting just kind of sucked up into other life's interest, you know. It's like, I mean, spirituality is like a huge part of it, but I think for me, it's like the deeper aspect of it is feeling connected. Is being connected to one's purpose, one's own spirit, so that everything stems from that, so that all of your actions are in sync with who it is that you are at your authentic core. And I think that, you know, how people look to find that, you know, that's can be part of the religious quest, looking to, you know, figure it out, to box it in. But, you know, boxing in the universe.
No, yeah, it's not what's
happening. That seems a little. I mean, that, for me, that seems like where it seems like the ego gets out of line.
Yeah.
You know, like you know, putting God in a box, you know, and saying that's what it is, and I have it figured out. Okay, next, you know, and allowing for that that process of discovering, you know, different layers, right? It's just like, you know, it's like as we are born, you know, it's like we're not the complete person that we're going to be yet. It's all kind
exactly.
of in there, like encoded in the DNA and the in that seeding, but each layer unfolds, you know, as time progresses, and so, you know, our own spirituality can evolve as well, can, you know, see new layers unfold.
And I think that's exactly what I you know, when I say for people to get in touch, you know, to help them with their things like that, is first to, first, in order to have people see that there's something, you know, what really is out there and how to get in touch with it. First, they need to get in touch with themselves, truly. And, you know, somebody can say, well, I know myself. I don't know how many times I said that in my life. Oh, I know. I know myself. I know this and that. But still, I couldn't answer why I did certain things, why I reacted the way I did to certain things, why I hated certain things, why I liked certain things. And so I think the first thing I do is I look at somebody and I say, okay, but do you really? I mean, if the first thing to really do is to look at yourself and say, okay, how much of this is really my authentic self and how much of it is based on my cultural conditioning, is based on like what my family wanted me to do, what the environment that I grew up in wanted me to do. How much of what I like and dislike is due to that? And to really sit in that, to experience that, and to decide what is true for you. Also to do some investigation into your roots and your family background, because, you know, I have found that I am very similar to, there's aspects of my family and my family history that is very authentic to me. But there's things that was just based on that conditioning. And so to shed the parts that are not authentic and to just grow with the ones that are. And again, so now we're getting back to that Ten of Wands card. So, you know, maybe that's, you know, it's like that's the shedding. That's the shedding of the snakeskin. That's the completion point. When I think that you've looked at, when you've done that introspection, right, you really looked at yourself and you did the work to do away with the parts that weren't authentic and they were just part of your conditioning or your environment, and to hold on to all the parts that were true to you and to grow with that now. So, you know, maybe that in itself represents the Ten of Wands, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well said, for sure.
Ooh, what's that gong?
Are you hearing something?
Yeah, I heard a gong type noise. What is happening? Do you hear that?
Yeah, I do hear that. Are you doing that?
No, I'm not doing that. Is that like, seems like a Tibetan monk. This energy bowl. This vibration.
It is time to ask your question of the tarot.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I would say, Jason, let's see here. I want to know, do you see more rain for California anytime soon? Are we going to get green out here?
Are we going to get green?
Yeah, what do you see for the future of California here with the environment?
Well, let's see. Let's look. Ooh. Man, oh man, I'm getting like the cups here. I'm looking at the cards. I'm getting the Two of Cups and the Nine of Cups, which is the Wish card.
Okay.
And so I'm placing my hand and I'm asking for. I'm asking for like the proper amount of rain, or one not the deluge that compromises the hills in the recent wildfire where it just pours and just like makes a deadly mess of those. So I'm thinking of my neighbors there in that. And so the Two of Cups, the Nine of Cups, and the Ace of Swords. And
Ace of Swords is an interesting one.
In the Wizard's Tarot, it's like the sword is planted in the ground, the blade down, and then there's a winged being who is taking off. They are creating a new a new level of identity, of a thought pattern that allows for them to go up into the clouds there. So I'm seeing where the energy of all these cards are very very positive, or ones of energy that is flowing, and so I see that we're going to get like a like enough rain, like proper like amounts, like I want to say that February can be tricky, that as far as like where it can be maybe the wettest there, or where it'll have like the highest amounts that are measured there, but overall, you know, we'll be okay. Is that really what you wanted to ask?
I do. Well, the thing is that, well, we got a lot of those cups cards, so that's a good sign, right?
Yeah, because it's they're the water signs.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, with the Two of Cups, you know, that's a, for me, there's aspects of healing with that, you know, the, where the relationship of the rain to
exactly.
us, where it doesn't like overdo it, where it's in the proper amounts, or the, you know, where it's not, doesn't just flood us out and destroy again, like those areas, like I think it was last year or whatever, after the Thomas fire up in Montecito, where the rains came down and it ended up like creating those mudslides that killed more people than the fires had.
Right.
And it was horrible. So my intent, my wish in that, because I do control the weather as a wizard. No, I don't. Please don't have anyone like call me in and try to have me, you know, control the weather. But what I'm seeing is that it's in the proper amounts there.
Well, I mean, even with that two card, it's interesting you say fly, because I'm like, oh, you think about it like Noah's Ark, you know, working together, the twos and pairs, you know, working together to build something maybe so that we can have better systems. You know, it's interesting even with the ace card, the ace of swords, because we're in California, right? And the first thing I'm thinking of with swords cards is like, it's intelligence, it's your mind. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like artificial intelligence. You know, what if we're building some artificial intelligence, some system out here to make, and we're working together on it with the two, because we're wishing for this water with the nine, and we can create some sort of system there, irrigation system or water system to help us grow things. So this is kind of where my mind is going.
Right.
And it's fascinating when you say floods and wishing and water, I mean, you're just pulling all that in. So.
Yeah, it's like the wishing well, pulling from the wishing
well.
Yeah, the
wishing well.
Again,
a
kind
beautiful
of
way to
more,
put it.
More water. And we do need water. It's almost like Florida and California need to start dating, you know, as far as like, you know, like the East Coast and the West Coast, so that, you know, there's like a balance. You know, so that you know, it's like they get like, you know, flooding and just the hurricanes and all that, and it's just like California, you know, with the fires and the drought and all. It's like, you know, allowing for that balance to come in and take place.
I love that they should start dating like with the two cups.
Yeah.
Two of Cups is definitely like a little beginning of a romantic partnership.
Right? Right? Or it's like, hey.
Who do you think would be the girl in that situation? Who would be California? No, I think, I don't know, Florida or California? Who would be the female?
That's a good question.
Well, probably Florida, because they cry a lot more. Florida has a lot more rain. So.
They have a lot more drama. Although, you know, Los Angeles.
Hey, drama is fun. Guys like drama. Don't pretend like you don't. You'd be busy fighting each other if we didn't give you a little bit of drama to focus on a bit. If you weren't too busy, you know, trying to settle us down, you know, you'd be taking that out fighting too much. So a little bit's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, again, kind of a proper balance or a healthy balance of drama.
Exactly. But yeah, so I love that. That's funny.
how do you
definitely start dating. Great idea.
How do people find you either on the web or on the web?
Yeah, so I had a website, which I still have, so if people want to find me on there, they can. But I'm migrating to a new blog. But my current website is 8thhouseastro.com. So it's 8thhouseastro.com.
Is that spelled out, or is it the number 8?
It's spelled out, like 8th, like E-I-G-T-H. E-I-G-H-T-H, 8th, 8thhouseastro.com.
Yeah.
And, so they can message me on there through the site or 8thhouseastro@gmail.com. My new blog site is going to be on WordPress, so I'll probably link it in the beginning. But the new blog is called London Bridges. It kind of talks about my journey understanding my own mediumship abilities and how I did that on my own to grow through those different aspects of it. And I actually even was guided at some point to various schools and mentors and teachers to help to kind of guided me along the process. So I'm going to talk about all of that in my blog, and I hope that it helps people understand themselves a bit better and maybe what they're feeling and tries to help them to get in tune with that spirituality and to that universal current, get on the universal current. Flow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that there's a big part of like the permission that people give themselves, especially when they lean towards a spiritual path for themselves, which is one of the most difficult paths, by the way. You know, it's like, you know, to think that it's just where one ends up in a blissful place. It's like, you know, certainly there are happy times, but one usually, you know, when they go deep into their own being, into like the area of other, you know, spiritual studies, it's usually, you know, one goes into the shadow sides of life, you know, so that there's a deeper understanding of suffering. And, you know, it can be a really profound journey. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a walk in the park. It's not a, you know, where it's like it's all unicorns and crystals and all that. It's like those are tools to kind of help. You know, I hate to tell you now.
I definitely see unicorns. I've definitely been seeing unicorns. But
is that,
you know,
where,
it's absolutely,
is that where you were for Halloween? Did you dress up as a unicorn for Halloween?
I don't even think I went out for Halloween this year. but yeah, if I did, I would definitely have been in a unicorn snuggie or something, you know.
Right.
Nice and
right.
Warm. Who wants to be cold for Halloween?
No one.
No, you're right. I think, and that's what you know, my blog is about too, is to show people, you know, that shadow side of you too. It's actually fun when you start to investigate in there. And no, it's not all roses, and you know, in the beginning. But when you really start to observe it, and you're not too involved in it anymore, and you can just kind of look at it, right? I use it now as art form. I use it because it's fascinating to me, like, you know, all those hidden sides of me before. And I think in that sense is what I mean by the drama, right? With using those feelings, those sufferings, that kind of pain, and using it in some form of art form. And or just a means to express yourself through some artistic medium, whether that's your words or your writings or even in the arts in itself. I find it's fascinating to me in that aspect. But to no longer actually be living that suffering, but to observe it. And that's what I want to really bring to people, because suffering is, like, I don't want to ever get rid of the shadow, because the shadow, I mean, it's always going to be there. It's attached to you in a sense. But if you can find understanding in your shadow, that it no longer hurts you, but it's just a means to play with, you know, play. What is in Peter Pan? He plays with his shadow, doesn't he? They chase each other and stuff. It's more fun. It's more fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's fascinating. And so I want to teach people how to do that, to look at their shadow and not find it frightening anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, it's like when one can look at, you know, some of the harder cards in the tarot, like the Three of Swords or the Ten of Swords or the Tower, the Devil, you know, these cards, and look at them and see how they're informative and how it's about kind of just working through our own issues, you know, how we battle ourselves, and how we're able to you know, start moving forward in a way where we're not getting in our own way. And I think that, you know, the shadow self, that it's, you know, once we kind of make friends with it, then we're able to, you know, be in that more playful place, or, you know, like the Peter Pan. Are you going to do the Peter Pan seminars there? But you might have a problem with the ownership if you use
that. Yeah, because, I mean, the shadow is fun. The shadow is fascinating, and all those, you know, all the creatures that live in the dark. You know, isn't there films about that or something, like monsters and stuff? And they're not scary. They're fun. You know, they're just interesting. They're just interesting. What are all the little monsters that live within you? And can you make friends with them?
Mm-hmm.
And just what you said. When you, just like the Three of Swords, just, it's not like we're not going to constantly come to these times again in our lives where something seems to disappoint us, but do we really have to get to this really negative place? Or can we just look at it as an experience again and be like, oh, well, this is fascinating. I've been here before, and, you know, start to just be with it, hold its hand a bit, you know, instead of trying to battle it or think it's some terrible, awful thing. So.
Or for it, to, you know, where it allows itself to take root and it becomes, you know, like I'm thinking of like the Three of Swords or some kind of like, you know, suffering, that traumatic event that we go through. And it's like, do we allow for that traumatic event to define us, or do we look to convert it, you know, into, you know, something that allows for a catalyst, or, you know, for some, you know, to keep us moving forward, so we don't get stuck. So we don't get stuck in our own drama, where that becomes the defining part of us. You know, it's like, you know, our suffering, as opposed to, you know, how it is that we change it up to, you know, find our joy in life.
Exactly, because, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, whenever I pull a three for somebody, and I say, listen, it's just a three, you're just at a three, it's really not, I know it's not a big deal for you, I know you feel like it's a big deal, but I know really it's not, And it's mostly because people get stuck so much on an idea or a concept, you know, you know, they feel almost betrayed by that. You know, what is the three of swords? Betrayal, almost. You feel like you might, your heart's been wounded and stabbed, and really it's just the idea of that, or something that you didn't like about a situation that, you know. But if you really, and I asked that person, I'm like, really? Because if you really think about it, did you really want that situation to happen? Or did you, you know, did you really care about it that much? But it's just the fact that it didn't go your way that you didn't like. Because I know when something's out of three, or, you know, it's really not that painful, but we're just stuck usually on a concept that we wanted something to go a certain way and it didn't. And, you know, oh, all of a sudden it's a major betrayal. Is it really, you know? And then you have to actually have people look at it, like, you know, face yourself and that concept. So I think when we can get off the idea so much and really look at our attachment to that, you know, it's really attachments. I think the Buddha says that. It's our attachments to our beliefs that hurt us the most.
Causes our suffering.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic.
So let go of that attachment, and you'll find that you no longer suffer.
If you can believe it, our hour is almost up.
I know, that was too much fun. Too bad. You have to have more podcasts instead of just once a week now, Jason. So I had a lot of fun on your show. Thank you for inviting me. And I hope that Florida and California do start dating so we see more rain and more of a balance.
That's right. And they can, like, dry out there. Where can people reach you one more time?
So they can reach me right now at eighthhouseastro.com, or I'm starting my blog on WordPress called London Bridges, and so it would be, let's see, I think it's like leilalondon.wordpress.com or something, but the easiest right now is eighthhouseastro.com.
Okay, and that's spelled out, eighthhouseastro.com. And Layla, are you you're doing the podcast and all? Are you have any workshops or anything? Will it? Do you feel that you know that will stem, you know, branch off into some workshops and you know where you're working with people in a larger.
Well, I just reached my 10. You just pulled my 10 for me, so.
Yeah.
I'm branching into a new horizon now, and yeah. So I am right now branching off into doing. I really like doing the podcast, and I'm going to be starting to do workshops. Maybe I'll talk to you about a few that maybe you're doing, the tiki huts and things, teepees.
In the teepee.
The teepee.
did you know that the teepee burnt down?
No, I didn't know that. It burnt down the Malibu fires.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
In Agoura Hills, the teepee that I was facilitating Tarot experiences in. That it's we're thinking of it as temporarily. It's like a temporary situation, you know, because it's not that the spirit is gone of you know, that community and all. It's just that the place is in hiatus. Let's just say that the teepee is in hiatus for the moment.
Well, it's probably for you know, being rebuilt for now a greater. It's going to be greater when it is. Coming back to fruition again. So again, kind of one.
I think so.
Kind
of one. Yeah. Exactly. You know, that shedding of that skin of that locale, you know, where a new life emerges,
exactly.
And the community is intact. And so, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for being here on Wizard Talk today. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving. And
happy Thanksgiving.
Many blessings to you, Layla.
Okay. Many blessings, Jason. Thanks.
And we
Bye.
will talk soon. Okay. And I want you to
Definitely.
Come back to Wizard Talk once your blogs are cooking, so that we can talk more, because it's like we have some great conversations.
Would love that. I would love that. Okay, we'll talk
All right.
soon.
All right.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. And thus endeth another episode of Wizard Talk. And I would like to thank Layla Didibon again for being my guest. And you can go to her website, 8thhouseastro.com, to contact her for readings or to check out her blog, that London Bridges, the blog that she's starting up there. All right. My website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com, has my tarot reading schedule, and I'm going to be posting a workshop in Portland that I have planned for January 20th at New Renaissance Bookstore. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be doing the Cultivating the Unknown seminar there, the workshop, 2-hour workshop. So it's going to be a lot of fun there in the wintry, cold Portland in January. It's like, I won't mind that at all. No, I used to live in Alaska, so, it's not a thing, right? Of course, I haven't been there in 30 years, so maybe a thing. All right. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving, and many blessings. Thank you for listening to Wizard Talk.